Yeah. So we have heard the great talk about from Thorsten about the documentation, and I especially would love if people with documentation needs like Reinhard Max to distribute them later on with packages and so on, get early in contact with Thorsten so that we can cover all needs early and we will not be on the last minute and then everything has to be changed and so on. So it would be great if you also network with Thorsten to look if it is feasible. As far as I know, also often man pages on Linux are separated in different packages, and perhaps some parts are in the development packages, others in other packages. So all those are special needs of the packager people. Yeah, thank you. So state of Tickle. In my first conference of this type, Jeffrey Hobbs has held a presentation, State of Tickle, at this time, and it was always the key presentation. Now it fell on me, I'm sorry for that. If anybody else wants to do it, it's okay. So I try to resume a bit and invite or introduce our panel, which will be the next step. I'm sorry that we are late, but it is as it is. If someone wants to go, it is also as it is. So, first of all, why do you want Tickle 9? We have full Unicode support, so no surrogates anymore. So string length of a handshake is now 1 and not anymore 2 or something else. So that's great. We get larger strings, lists, file sizes, as we have changed the representation of lengths nearly everywhere. So most things get larger. We have a built-in Starkit functionality. So we have one executable with all included, including scripts, DLLs, binary stuff, anything in one, and we can deploy it by one file. So that's something what was before external now is included in Tickle. We have annoying pitfalls removed. So things which were always annoying, like expression 08 plus 09. For the insiders, this will give an error, and in future, it's just okay. Or on Windows, the minus EUF defaults, you read a file, and suddenly it stops, and you don't know why. Well, it was the EUF character, which has the default value of something. Yeah, we have great new features, like what's my favorite, calculated pattern replacement, rexap minus command, which is for me a really great feature. We have the great new abstract list and sequence data type, the LSEC stuff. It's great work. So you can have a way long one, you can have 4 each. With other types, it makes it much more clear. And it also has internally an extension type to do so. We have some new OO stuff, object-oriented. The encoding, finally, has profiles. So we, if there are any encoding issues, we can stop there, we can handle them, we can go into errors. That's also great. And we have new performance. So the L range, L insert is without copy, and the lock command was implemented in C, so it's factor 10 times quicker. So that's why you want Tickle 9. In a glance, 7 years of development. Last speech, I have listed all the changes. I will not repeat that now. We have. I will only show what happened since last year. Okay, we had releases, 9.0, beta 1 releases. The last one was a beta 2 down here. We had an 8.6.14 release in between, so in February this year. So it's again in a yearly manner, we release 8.6. And 8.7.8.5, so 8.7 is postponed. That doesn't say that it has stopped and so on, but at the moment we concentrate to get 9.0 out of the door. So 9.0 release. Okay, bundled packages. So we have also saw a lot of bundled packages. There are basically nothing, nearly nothing happens last year. So they are ready, it works. Threat package had to go out of the beta stage, which will also happen. The TCL TLS package got great improvements, that's one. And we had the migration tool, which happened and which was already mentioned two times today. Okay, so what is the new work? So thank you all for working on it. It's this awesome work of many, many people, and it really merits to be released. So we have changed commands since the last year, the const, so some old stuff is removed. The string is Unicode was not included, big discussion. We have reserved range of return codes. We have unification of the format stuff. Before that was platform dependent. We have the clock speed up and a lot of clock changes. Before we had also already the 40th day of each month and so on, that was all okay. Now we have the validate option and it has default value of 1. So we don't accept any more invalid dates. So now you can use the clock also to validate dates. Before, if you have said, okay, the 35th of February of January, this was actually the 4th of February. So that's how it worked before. Okay. So that's great, great work by Sergey. Okay. We have a couple of I/O changes. Some easy procedures, channel stuff. We have removed the aliases for ISO 8859-1, the binary and the empty string encoding. It's also a big discussion. Rolf was thanked by that. And we have the strict encoding error reporting of channels, which was the main point why Tickle 9 was delayed for 1 year, why we didn't release it earlier, because that was big issue. We had finally, I think it was Nathan Kulcher who had the solution which was picked up. So what happens is, okay, you have a channel, you have your channel with invalid data, and now you read it in blocking mode, and you do the read, and then you must inform the user about there's an error. You must know where the error is, where in the channel position, and you must know the data which was already decoded. So three information must be get some way out of it, and this was done like that. So the current position is here at position 1, which is just in front of the error position. The error dictionary now has a key, which is minus data, which tell you, okay, this part of the data was correctly decoded. So that's returned here. And, well, the error message tells you we had an error. Okay, so that was a solution, and it was quite great, great discussion, great solution. Okay, the C API got a lot of, I would say, refinements, and we saw that decisions made in the past was perhaps not the right decisions. So just last week, TK Inter gelled, that doesn't work, and you don't look at TK Inter, how does that happen? And I was quite personally blessed by that. I say, okay, we developed that now for 7 years and you didn't look into it. It's even a CTCT member, but anyway, this was solved. So now it is solved. There's a new function to do the internal stuff. Must make clear that now internal character representation is 4 bytes. So the TCL max is 4. So one character representation is 4 bytes. Yeah, I don't know how to word that. That's a different story. So it is encoded in UTF-8, But if a character, if you have a function which passes you exactly one character, like get character, it returns a 4-byte value, something like that, in the C APA. So at least that was the original change of the interface. So they are, yeah, I'm the wrong person to do that. Apparently, there's a compatible layer that extensions may still use another one, so UTF-MAX 3, which means that they use surrogates if there are high characters included. Yeah. Good. So compatibility macros, which auto-detect the size, so basically what happened is that size of argument was taken in the compile phase, and depending on that, different function was physically put into in by defines, and that was the side effect was that the compiler couldn't detect any error, so that was partly removed. We still have it in the Boolean stuff, but well, that happened. We have new functions for unsidewind access functions, and the get alias also got 64-bit, which was forgotten before. Okay, so the TCT, the people which are caring about the core, are those people, and we have three new people with this: Ashok P. Natkarni, Rolf Ader, and myself. Okay, and let's think about the future. So the slide or those lines were sent to me yesterday by Steve Landers, basically. So we think that TCL 9.0 beta 3 is just starting. So I had a teleconference with Donald Porter on Tuesday where we discussed that, and will be likely released in around, we suppose, 1 month if there's no showstopper. So if we need another, doesn't need another beta. We see, well, Steve writes it like that, that only if we release it, we will find out the real issues. We have seen that with TK Inter, that they are getting active, I would say, on the last minute. And yeah, if we don't release, we don't get the issues, and we are aware that we will have soon the next patch releases, because at the moment, if everybody follows, we fix one bug after the other, and that's normal, and that's typical. Okay, we may get interim releases, especially of TK. We may get more formal core procedures, so that the main branches can only be merged by after review. This planned to increase the size of the TCT, so you all may happen to use that, you are asked to join. Be welcome. And the need of 8.7 to replace 8.6.15 may happen. There may be a release. It is in a good state, but currently we focus on 9.0. Okay. The second page is about the new documentation. We have just seen that by Thorsten, so that's also a point we want to get in close future. If Tickle 9.0 is out, we probably directly attack that point. Okay, any question at this point? So I thank you for your attention, and I want to invite for the panel. I will ask questions if someone else doesn't want to. And invited is Rolf Ader to the panel. He was at least warned. Andreas Kuprius. Yeah. So that next person, I wanted to ask Thorsten Berg if he would join our panel. Yeah. And the fourth person, Paul, you are able? Yeah, okay. So I'm sorry I haven't checked in advance or didn't ask so much about the panel people, but it is anyway an open discussion. And what we typically do in the panel is first we ask a question and each panel member can give his advice, and later on we have open discussion. So the first question, dear panel, is what is your view about the next? So what I can and preview you on the answer. First, I want to ask you about your view on Tickle 9. Then I want to ask your view about packages, how to minister packages which are in Tickle. And the third question is about your future plans, so to prepare you. So your first question is, are your thoughts about Tickle 9? Is it ready? Would it be improved? Is it a good step to release it now? Yeah.
Well, okay. So my first opinion, I think Tickle and TK is now in a very good state. What's not in a good state are packages. I have talked about it. I don't think I have to explore that further. And yeah, what about the future? As you already said, bring out Tickle 9 as soon as possible. Also bring, or make more often releases, better releases. Like I don't always extract the trunk when I test my board stuff, because that takes quite some time to compile it on different Windows, Linux machines. So if a new beta release is out, I grab it and try to compile everything. So more often release beta releases for Tickle 9, then more tests will be done, I think. And one thing which came to my mind when Thorsten had his talk about, let's say, so cryptic NROF macros, it came to my mind that, let's say, the TR configuration scripts are not even better. and that's not a thing we should, take into consideration for the short, but for the, let's say, medium and long term, whether there is a better built infrastructure like CMake or whatever we can build Tickle and extension on. So.
Okay. First, thanks for having me here on the panel. I wasn't expecting that. I mean,
thank you for accepting it.
Sitting with those people that are much more into TCL for much longer than I am, but okay. I have an opinion, so why not? I would also say this is the time to get TCL 9 out of the door. When we don't do it now, I think it could have the danger that it gets delayed more or less forever, because there will always be things that can't be done. And from my perspective, I also wanted to have the documentation converted to Markdown ready for TCL 9. And I said in the beginning of the year to Steve, yeah, we can make it. May, no problem. And then May went by and it was a problem. And I said, oh, beta 3, end of June. Yeah, sure. Didn't make it. All kinds of new problems pop up. Things get more complicated. And you can go on forever. So, as you said, I think it's in a good shape. I've tried it myself with the apps I have. It runs nicely, and being a Mac user and with this new CG image with Crossing branch, it's a huge improvement on the Mac also, so definitely get it out of the door. And in terms of the future, I think one of the most important things is this kind of what we heard with T-Trek today, having a good package manager that people can agree to that, that makes it easier for users to get a package installed and used, because that's a pain often finding it. And even finding the information, is this available for Mac or not? Ah, it is, but it doesn't compile. Ah, how could I know? There's no documentation about this. Things like that are so, so important when a language gets adopted, and all other languages have that. Just GCL doesn't, and this is really a pity, and I think we should put much, much more effort into that. And there have been so many approaches, Gutter and Teacup, and you name them, but they were always initiatives from individual people who took it to a certain point, and then it stopped because it's a lot of effort to keep that going. And we need to kind of formalize this in a way, or make it as easy as possible so that people really use it and adopt it.
First, a note, because why I grumbled to Harald's sheet. That may have given the impression that the internal memory need now is four times as it was. This isn't the case. The character ASCII characters are still internal, typically only 1 byte in UTF-8, and we have a variable length up to 4 now. So don't be afraid that your binary code or the tickle code now explodes your memory needs. So. Well, to the question about a release, it's easy to tell one of these wonderful sayings like, at one point you have to shoot down the developer and roll the thing out, and the people laugh and think that it's true. We have this point in history to change things in an incompatibility way. We have took this freedom in several areas, have done incompatibility changes. Perhaps another solution would be to have a much, much faster release cycle, but I doubt that we will see Article 10 in my lifetime. Don't know. So I agree with the others. The current shape of trunk is much improved. There has happened a lot in the last 2 years. I'd say we have identified 2 or 3 important misconcepts and corrected that in Article 9. So I agree with it is in a good shape, and I agree with we can cut a release from that. And maybe we should do it, in fact, already now, because there is no other way we get the folks out there to move their ashes and try it and do the migration, and so we get in the reports about all the things we have missed. There will be much work to be done, even from Article 9 to Article 9.1. One thing is memory, hygiene. We had at some point in Article 8.6 with the right build flags the situation that you could run your test suite and run it under wall grid, under memory checker. If your program was correct, the extension worked as it should, Walgreen said all memory heaps are freed. There's no memory leak possible. That got completely lost during the Tickle 9 release cycle. This isn't because there are a lot of memory leaks now in the source code. I don't think there are much new memory leaks in the source code. It's just that the turndown code from the interpreter at exit missed a lot. But these things have to be corrected to have much more confidence for extension writers to test their extensions for memory leaks. This is some detail, I think, that should be tackled after we release that. So that's enough now for me.
Yeah, for myself, as far as I can tell, Article 9, the trunk looks okay. So I hope that we can make at least a better free release within a month, if not the proper one. That said, it depends on Don Porter's time, basically, to actually do the release. And I don't know with what other things he's busy with, basically, in his paid work. So if there's a delay, hopefully it is only because he is busy, not because we have another thing to discuss and get a delay from. I am glad, actually, that Ashok write his migration script with a Nagelfar checker. I first used it basically last week with TKLib before I made the TKLib 0.8 release. It is not of interest to the OpenACS people, but I guess it is generally of interest, and it actually identified a few things I had not thought about before. And basically, when I'm back from the conference next week, I will use it to go over TKLib again. TKLib already had quite a bit of stuff done from Rolf and then later from me, and with a migration script, hopefully there will be even more found. And personally, my plan is to say, the moment the TKL 9 goes out, basically to cut a release of TKLib to come with it, and which should fit with both 8.6 and 9. And the other thing which is on my plate is also critical, which is C runtime in TKL, where you can basically write C code and integrate it with TKL in an easy way. You can also see it as a build system if you want. And this one also had quite a bit of work to make it ready for TKL 9. It includes also some migration checks, basically, from Paul, basically, his script to find all the C APIs where you have to change from int to TKL size and so on. And critical now has the same kind of checker built in, so when you run it over, it checks basically the C code you have written and tells you, okay, check this and that. And when the TKL 9 is out, basically critical should follow soon, as I have time, but that's at least the plan.
Great maintenance of TKL and TKLib by Andreas. Okay, Andreas, I especially want to ask you a second question also to Rolf about how do you think about packages and package source place.
Yeah, okay. There's the talk about registry and indices and so on. And so far, from my view of the past, none of the things we attempted in the past got really traction. There was, of course, Active TKL. I was part of Active State. And we had the teapot and so on. However, I am not sure that there was ever a true take up by extension writers and to support us in that and supply us and basically add metadata to their extensions so that we would not have to. And so I am relatively pessimistic about that we are getting it done in the future after so long. I agree that it is something which would be useful and helpful as a central place to point people to. Here are extensions and so on. There's of course then the question: should it be only an index, or should it be something where you get sources, or should it be something where you get binaries, a mix of it? And with documentation here with Markdown, he said basically do it in steps, convert to Markdown now, and then think about other things like includes and stuff like that. And with the package thing, it might be something we might also have to do in steps. Start relatively simple and then see that we can extend it basically. And it's a pity that Reinhard is not here now up in front, because otherwise I could ask him basically what is...
Yeah, last time I asked Reinhard and he said, no, I don't want, so that's why I didn't ask him this time, yeah. But please stay close.
The point
to
is, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of central thing would be useful to you as basically the maintainer of Tickle packages with OpenSUSE and or SUSE in general, basically? Is it important that the central point provides you the sources, or would an index be enough to go there then to the actual location of the sources?
I guess both could work. What would not work for me is precompiled binaries.
Yeah, of course.
Everything that goes into SUSE has to be compiled on SUSE premises.
SUSE and signed and so on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I only
said
sources or index basically.
Basically, not sure if an index with the current state of sources that are, as we already heard it today, that are in many different places, having different build systems, needing different tweaks to get them compiled. So some more unification regarding how to build a Tickle extension in a standardized way, that would help maybe to generate the spec files that I need to build RPMs.
Yeah, okay.
And then probably a registry would be enough. If, for example, everything, all major, at least all major extensions, were to be found in the on the Tickle core server, in a way so that each of them can be compiled with the same set of options. Currently, I need lots of tweaks to different.
Yeah. The thing is, that is one of the things I'm pretty pessimistic on, because we have such a legacy of old packages from the past, and quite a lot don't have a maintainer any longer, even if, let's say, expect Don Leibs created it, he maintained it for a long time. I don't think he has any plans to maintain it anymore, so any kind of unification or stuff would have to be done basically by a new generation.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm sort of thinking more also about the index, because the moment you try to centralize the sources, that is when also something where you need buy-in, and quite a lot of people say, well, there are Fossil, there's GitHub, there will be stuff like still on SourceForge and or in something with SVN, although SourceForge is the location and it supports SVN, Git, ZVS, and I do not see how we can centralize that.
I mean, one attempt would be to talk to the maintainers, if there are still maintainers, if they would be willing to move, for example, to the core server of whatever the community agrees on, and for projects where there is no upstream anymore, fork it and call it the new.
In that case, it might be something easier. Even if there are maintainers, it might be possible to simply ask them, okay, you are maintaining it on GitHub, are you okay if we make a Fossil mirror of it here? And it would have to be then something one way, basically.
Yeah.
Even if it's central, it would come from the original location, basically. It would not be a fork in that sense.
No, I'm talking of forks for extensions where there is no upstream anymore.
Yeah.
No upstream maintainer.
I mean, something which was mentioned here, I mean, also repositories disappear. I mean, it's normally the question to have it on Fossil or on GitHub or on SourceForge, but things disappear on GitHub, things disappear on everywhere. And some Fossil things are not reachable anymore. Therefore, I think it would be a good idea to have a core repository set containing GitHub and Fossil at least, and ask, let's say, the package maintainer who exists to put there automatically a copy of the thing which when something is new is released. I mean, it's quite easy with the workflows. You can simply specify on every whatever commit or on every release commit, push it automatically to some repository. Then these are some kind of, let's say, tickle approved, whatever this means, packages which are long-term available, which is guaranteed this by the tickle community. I think it would be a step.
You mean a central repository of released tarballs, kind of?
Tarballs or also Git repository.
Yeah, tarballs being the placeholder for any kind of archive files.
Yeah, I mean, from Git you can get tarballs from every previous release. I think there will be a Git community and there will be a Fossil community. And it's a religious question to say that everybody has to go into one thing. I think if both things are used there and there are afterwards a place where this generation can happen from and everything which is there as a benefit will be included in some kind of a easy packaging system. I think it is a benefit for the extension writers on the long term because they also might whatever disappear or getting older or whatever. Therefore, it's certainly something which the Tickle community could, let's say, provide there as an add-on with the benefit of when there's a new Tickle release to compile it with this and just include it afterwards in the best case in a kind of a automatic regression test and just make a list of things it compiles or not or has some kind of problems. I mean, it would be certainly a good place also for the users to check what is the state of this package. Does it work with this release and so on? I mean, if this could be, it would be great. If you ask me who could do this, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a possibility to start with, basically. As I said, start with a small, simple step, get as much buy-in as possible, and then see if you can extend it, basically. As a side note on that, this is then more a topic for bike shedding, namely thinking of a name of that thing. I mean, there was the Grand Unified Tickle TK Extension Repository, which was an index, and this name sounds so nice, except when you shorten it, you have a gutter. And naming will be important, and we should see that we get something proper and nice.
And now let's see what the other people on the panel also have something to talk about packages.
Well, I don't want to be the guy to disturb the party.
But you will do it nevertheless.
Yeah. all nice things, central repository and all that stuff, I'm pretty fine with that. There are nice things, there are important things, but there are things that must be done. And I think Paul put it very well in his talk about the state of the extensions. Well, being a freshly new Tickle Core member, I'm coming from, in fact, using Tickle for application writing. Don't know how many in the audience are, in fact, doing this in business and for years and years, writing Tickle applications. If you want to do serious Tickle application writing, then you need a whole ecosystem. This is important this is, you can't live without. Scripts are not a problem with Tickle 9. I had some experience, had a talk last year about this. Now Ashok's great migration tool is still an improvement. Migrating Tickle scripts to Tickle 9 isn't a big thing, typically, I'd say. That is a no-brainer. But if we won't have a healthy Tickle, we need the binary extension ecosystem. And the first thing, before all that nice things, central repositories and whatever, is that this migration, that this extension are migrated to Tickle 9. This is the most important thing. If you don't have them, you can't write serious applications, and this will be the end. So this is, in my view, this is the thing everyone with a bit free time at hand should do. Take over an orphaned binary extension that may be of some value for you, and do the migration. Everything else we talked about here is important. I agree with most of them. Although I'm happy if someone does that work, but this work, I scribbled just, must be done.
Cool. We need packages before we can put them into the registry.
Yeah. Hi there. Since you are mentioning this, and I am asking this for the panel, I know one person in there that might have a better answer, but do you think that now you are mentioning that the extensions are an important part of the migration before anything else, do you think that a better documentation will help anyone else in this room that wants to start helping probably migrating, starting to understand those extensions? Does the documentation, do you think that that lack of documentation might be that wall that is stopping someone else to taking that job? Or do you think that that doesn't matter at all?
Takes a microphone. I think Rolf may answer.
I'm sorry, I'm not clear what kind of documentation you talk about.
For the creating extensions, and any extension that it is there, how it made to be, right? The first version, what triggered the idea of the first extension that it was made, the changes that was made along the way, and how that can be, or what are the changes that will be need to have or to happen for the next version of Tickle. Let's say I want to migrate an extension for Tickle 9. I want to be part of the team, right? That okay. So where do I start, right? A step by step that will take me, instead of just okay. You have, like he was saying, you have to tweak a lot of things just to recompile and then start to making a new thing, right? So if there could be a better way, like I was saying, a better documentation on where to start and how the process will help me to take the next step in helping the team and probably not just me, you know, someone else, right? And probably someone that has more free time than us, I guess. But this is for the panel, not just for you.
No. Rolf can answer. But then I will answer. We have a migration guide for scripts, and we have a migration guide for binary packages. So there is documentation. And that's, we know what to do and how to do it. We just have to do it. So that's, I think, what Rolf wanted to say, that it is not so hard. That was also in his presentation. Basically, we have around 10 points you have to look on, then throw it in your compiler, you take the new header files, the compiler will spit out, in his case, 25 errors or 50 or whatever, and then you look on each one and you will make changes, you will get new errors because you have changed data types and so, but that is a normal process and we know how to do that. Just someone has to do it. So.
Yes.
That's someone that needs to know. You know it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there is documentation out there, and it will grow. If
I don't need that.
people make their experiences and their right stuff. We had this topic here at the conference. There is the material, the information about this process is growing, of course. Nobody will do this work for us. The people using the extensions must have to do this work. It's very simple. So.
So many hands.
Sorry. Perhaps Sebastian or someone else can handle the microphone. Yeah, thank you.
I'd like to postulate that the Tickle TK core is too big, because it seems to encapsulate all of the known existing extensions. So my postulation would be, as a first step, maybe for the TCT or what, whoever, to make a list of what really is the core packages to be maintained at all costs. So that would be a list, I don't know of how much, but we have seen, for example, with Paul, there are some packages which can be replaced by others or whatever, so and which are maintained, the new ones, I guess. So just like mentally throw them out. So maybe a list of packages, where is a commitment of TCL, TK, to be in the core, and the others, okay, if somebody picks them up, then it would be, that would mean with a new distribution, with Tickle 9, they will not be shipped, because nobody maintains them until somebody takes over this task. So, and that's the other part. I think where I agree very much with the source registry of recipes or whatever, to make it easy to contribute, so that somebody can just pick up fork and so on. We have now the situation, a package is like, you cannot, we have only one level of namespace for the packages. So if I make a deviation of a package, well, it has to have the same name, otherwise it cannot be installed. I saw today with a talk about T-Track. That is an approach where you could say, okay, take the same package but from another version for software development. So that I think that would spark, that would ease contribution, because it's not you don't have to contribute to the official package. You can roll your own improvement, test, play around with it, and maybe then replace the original one, which might not be so good. Could have a good support maintainer.
Any questions? Otherwise, I would say something shortly.
Maybe I can add something to this, and also I think it's also a good person to answer this afterwards.
It's on.
I mean, one thing is, let's say, to compile an extension without errors, and the next thing is to run it. And to run it has at least two questions with this. What are the libraries that you need to run this? There might be different requirements for package A and package B, and it doesn't say at the end that in your installation it will run, because for whatever reason you are bound to use whatever. Let's say OpenSSL, just to give one thing, one point something, and because you're not allowed to install you, but can you use it? I mean, you need something like this T-Track at the end, which doesn't look only at the extension itself, but on the environment you need for running this. I think it's also, it's too easy to say when it compiles, it runs. I mean, another thing is certainly there are also pretty, there are several calls there in Tickle 9 which might return null, which never returned null before. I mean, it's not so easy to find this if you look at the code or whatever. You will find this by falling on your nose, and you are getting told after that you're stupid doing this, you shouldn't do this, but the code does it, whatever. And if somebody starts to migrate something, it's also somewhere the problem to take some responsibility for this, because people will come after you afterwards and say, well, you have done this board, your board is broken, and do something. I mean, it's also some kind of a, there should be some kind of a, not the whole burden should be on one person, but on somewhere on the community. And therefore, I think this community repository has certainly some advantage in a way that multiple person can contribute to it. And maybe a start is a list that that Paul has generated of just whatever, 30 packages. Okay, it's just 30 packages, but 30 packages, if you can rely on this, is certainly a start on this. And if you want to extend it afterwards, it can be done. Therefore, I think it needs more tweaks to get, let's say, running on the larger style.
Yeah, that was my intention with that list on the other list. So we have around 30 extensions which are actively developed. That's okay. A few active ticklers which are doing this, Ashok, Java, myself, I don't know, a few others. And this could be the starting point for such a thing to have, okay, these are proven Tickle 9 ready and take them, or if you need another one, you have to take care or find people who will do it with you. And the other problem is, which I have noticed when I, let's say, went through all the packages and looked at the websites and so on, that the problem Harald mentioned, only the active Tickle core or developers use beta or alpha releases. I found, for example, in my board framework, I have Tickle X 8.4 something, which did not work. And I found, okay, FlightAware is still developing it, and they had made a new release, 8.6.3, a few weeks ago, but trying to compile it, it was not adjusted to Tickle 9. So they never tested with beta releases. And then the same thing is, let's say, I have output a new image version, a major release, because I did all the new stuff which TK8.7 and TK9 supports, metadata stuff, and made lots of other stuff, and published this to the image community. Okay, there's a new beta 1 release, please test. No reaction. As soon as I put the same code, just add 2.0 beta 1 to 2.0.0 and say, okay, new released, I assume a lot of people say, oh, that's not working, that's not working, because they only test official releases. And that's one of the other problems. Let's say 1/3 of the packages I have in my framework are actively developed, some have maintainers, but they didn't look at Tickle 9 right now. Maybe if there's a final or there's a release of Tickle 9, an official one, not a beta or so, they will try to port it.
Maybe I can add another viewpoint. I think the four of us are sitting here, we don't need such a repository because we know where the packages are, we know where to look, we know how to do it. But that's probably not the point. I think the point of the future of TCL is that we hopefully want to have new users. And you can't get new users that download and install and they need a package and they scratch their heads, look at the web page and can't find their way through to the package. They don't know whether it exists at all. They don't know where to look for it. And if they found it, they find an outdated version because no one maintained the entry in the wiki, for example. And I think that's the large problem. And I think you're right when you say we should do it stepwise. Why not just start with this uppermost level with the metadata? It's not, we don't need a full-fledged repository where everything is possible, including compiling, running, and everything. But alone having a kind of a registry, just a database that has the basic data there, just like Gutter was, or what you showed in your slides. All this information is now buried in these slides or in an Excel file, but if you would have that somewhere on a web page where you know, I just need to go there And I exactly when I go there, I can see this is the most recent version, and it has a link to where it is to be found. That also already would be a huge improvement. And if you make it a central place and maintain that, I think people will quickly adopt and use this if they find it useful. And then doing the same things is then redundant. You don't need to do it on the wiki anymore and all other places. People will try to concentrate there, and then slowly it gets traction.
As a counterpoint to that problem, the initial stuff, setting it up and so on, will be easy. The maintaining it is the part where things usually fall apart, because the people who find it useful, which are the users of packages, are not necessarily the same people as the writer of packages, and the maintenance is something we usually expect the writers of packages to do, and won't. And with ActiveState and ActiveTickle, was it basically us as a commercial entity who basically checked, is there a new version of this or that package? And then we basically pulled it into our build system and updated basically the metadata. And yeah.
But that sounds like something that would be automatable. And if we had a central repository with all extensions, there would only one automation be needed. So if the packages are scattered, more automations are needed, one per package probably, or one per place where packages are, but it should be in some form scriptable. We all know a very good scripting language. So let's just put some scripts in place that run on the core server, and keep those entries up to date.
Good. Counterpoint, fair point.
Okay. Yeah, great panel. I thank you. I think it's time for the last question by Neo Futos.
Is this open?
It's open, yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to stress the importance of vision, of having a vision. And I agree with Torpen. Yeah, I agree with you that that's what the goal should be, and we should be a little bit delusional than pessimistic in our approach to developing the language. That's all.
Thank you.
Thanks to the panel. Thanks to everybody. So the panel toward Tickle 9, thank you all for your support, and we wish us a nice evening. I give over to the great organizers, perhaps Stefan.